Friends and family came together tonight to honor a high school football star. The Hayward teen vanished after being swept up in the rough current at Half Moon Bay. As NightBeat's Kristen Ayers reports, loved ones say he had so much ahead of him.
It's spring break here at Hayward High, and normally this campus would be empty. But tonight, classmates here came back to campus to mourn their teammate and friend lost at sea. A somber gathering of friends and teammates hugging, crying, lighting candles for Hayward High football standout Naftali Moimoi. Those who played with him on the field called him a brother. Reggie Garrett, whose son plays for Hayward, says Neff, as he was known, was like blood.
We all family, you know. This is a team right here, you know, saying, hey, we're high.
Neff had everything going for him, a football star with a full ride scholarship to Wyoming. But yesterday, on a spring break trip to Half Moon Bay with friends, it all came to a tragic halt. Neff got caught in a rip current, lost his boogie board, and disappeared in the water. His football coach said the Hayward High community needed this moment to mourn him.
He was just a great young man. He was loyal. He persevered in spite of all the circumstances thrown in front of him. He was a great football player, a great teammate.
30 miles away, Moimoi's family is keeping a different kind of vigil on Poplar Beach, where he vanished. His mother, Lisa, scanning the surf for any sign of his body.
I just want him to come home with us. I don't want to drag this too long.
Fog has made it difficult for rescuers to find him, but his family says they'll stay here tonight, waiting for a resolution, while his friends are resigned to a future without him.
Remind us to give peace and give love.
In Hayward, Kristen Ayers on the NightBeat.
Rescuers in Half Moon Bay got word of a possible sighting of him this morning, but they searched the waters again and found nothing.
A hospital hero caught on camera taking down a man with a gun inside the ER. Scary scene unfolded at Good Samaritan Hospital in San Jose yesterday. And tonight, NightBeat's Maria Medina shows us the exclusive video of that takedown. Maria?
Well, it turns out that firearm was really a pellet gun, but hospital staff had no idea. Luckily, one of their coworkers knows something about being a hero. The man who subdued that suspect is a military veteran.
He walked up to him, grabbed the gun, threw it, and then tackled him and took him to the ground.
It's the video of the moment a Good Samaritan employee turned into a hero.
He was pretty brave.
Tackling a man who allegedly made hospital staff fear for their lives. Yesterday around 9:20 a.m., the suspect is accused of walking into the non-public emergency entrance of the hospital, demanding medical personnel that he be seen, telling them he was a priority, and flashing his gun.
The advisor are multiple units went citywide code 3 to Good Samaritan.
Code 3 means emergency lights and sirens. A police source tells KPIX5 officers first thought they could be dealing with an active shooter. Meanwhile, the armed suspect sat on a gurney. That's when a camera captures a hospital employee casually walking by the suspect, then quickly grabbing the gun before the man could react. The employee throws the gun on the ground, turns around to tackle the suspect, then yells out to his coworkers.
They're saying that the nurses are detaining the male right now and that they have a hold of the gun.
This is a picture of the suspect's gun obtained by KPIX5. It turns out what looked like a real Sig Sauer, which is widely used by law enforcement and the military, was really a pellet gun. A fake, but police say that Good Samaritan, the real deal.
I think that whoever did that is very brave, very, very brave to tackle him and take care of business.
And we're told the suspect was cited and released. A source tells us that he has a history with police. Live in the NightBeat, I'm Marie Medina.
An 18-month-old child is in critical condition tonight after plummeting from a fire escape. Officers responded at an apartment complex along Martin Luther King Jr. Way at 4:30 after reports of a toddler not breathing. The East Bay Times reports the child fell 20 feet from the second-story fire escape. First responders rushed the toddler to the hospital. Police are now investigating the fall.
The SFMTA is under some scrutiny from state regulators tonight after a woman was seen being dragged by a moving train. The California Public Utilities Commission has launched an investigation probing that incident last week. SFMTA says they were already in the process of installing some new door sensors before the woman's arm got stuck between the doors. Regulators are also looking into a newly discovered issue with the new Muni fleet. A shear pin, which connects two cars together, broke off on a train last week. An investigation revealed another pin was also broken on a second train. Muni has been running all of its newer trains as single cars right now on the J line.
A sign of progress at the new Transbay terminal. Crews are about to remove a temporary shoring system. Now, in order to do that, Fremont Street will be closed between Howard and Mission each night for the next 4 weeks. The work begins on Sunday night. The entire transit center has been closed since September when workers discovered cracks in two beams on a bus deck. Then two shoring systems were installed to keep the deck stable. An apparatus on First Street is set to be taken down next month. The Joint Powers Authority says it hopes to have the transit center back open in June.
Some activists rallied at SFO today, marking the one-year anniversary of a Filipino youth activist being deported. They say Jerome Aba was subjected to racial profiling and was an example of the poor treatment of immigrants at U.S. entry points.
SFO and the U.S. government are the ones who had no business detaining, torturing, and deporting Jerome.
Aba flew into SFO from the Philippines last year, was detained for questioning by customs agents because of unspecified problems with his visa. He was placed on a flight to Manila more than a day later.
A Milpitas woman accused of strangling her 3-year-old grandson faced a judge today. 70-year-old Fus Abdihashi is charged with first-degree murder. The victim is identified as Ayub Hassan. A 4-year-old who was at home when the incident took place told detectives that she saw Hashi grab that boy by the neck and then throw him to the ground. Family members were in court today but declined to comment. The grandmother did not enter a plea and is being held without bail. The Riverside County couple who tortured their 13 children in what's described as a house of horrors are behind bars tonight, sentenced to 25 years in prison.
Nightbeat's Betty Yu tells us the parents broke down as their children addressed them in court. Betty?
Ken and Veronica, for the first time, we're hearing the children speak about the abuse in their Southern California home. It all ended last year when a teenage sibling managed to escape.
I'm sorry for everything I've done to hurt my children.
As Louise and David Turpin face sentencing, they first had to face several of their 13 children, kids who they tortured, chained, and held captive for years.
I'm a fighter. I'm strong.
Cameras were not allowed to show the children's faces, but their voices rang loud, clear, and defiant.
My parents took my whole life from me. But now I'm taking my life back.
The children, ranging in age from 2 to 29, had been held for years in a filthy Southern California home described as a house of horror, where they were sometimes barely fed and often chained to beds. Police were tipped off only after one of the teens managed to escape and called 911.
We live in filth, and sometimes I wake up and I can't breathe because how dirty the house is.
I cannot describe in words what we went through growing up. Sometimes I still have nightmares of things that had happened, such as my siblings being chained up or getting beaten.
But some also spoke of forgiveness.
I believe with all my heart that our parents tried their best to raise all 13 of us.
Since being rescued from their home, the children have been seizing opportunities they never had before.
In June of last year, I learned how to ride a bike. I'm getting a bachelor's degree in software engineering.
The Turpins both pleaded guilty in February. The tears they shed as their children faced them were gone as the judge began reading his sentence on count after count.
Total commitment then would be life with the possibility of parole.
In imposing his sentence, the judge told the Turpins that their actions were selfish, cruel, and inhuman. He said if the children end up thriving in life, it will, quote, not be because of you both, but in spite of you both.
Veronica.
All right, Betty, thank you. Tonight, a Florida man is accused of leaving threatening messages for three U.S. lawmakers, including a Bay Area congressman. Reporters went to the home of 49-year-old John Kless hours after federal authorities arrested him. Investigators say the messages on Tuesday contained racial slurs and complaints about gun control. The first call included a death threat against East Bay Congressman Eric Swalwell. Today, a woman believed to be the suspect's wife confirmed there was a law enforcement raid.
I'm sorry, but I have had enough. I had probably 12 men with ARs and lasers. They broke my son's bed. They took my property. I've had enough.
Two threatening messages targeted Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey and Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. Tlaib is speaking in Florida this weekend, so officials decided to act fast to track down that caller.
Now to the latest on the Mueller report. Democrats in Congress want to see a complete version with no redactions. And today, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee issued a subpoena demanding the full report with nothing blocked out. They want to read it. The Justice Department says Congressman Jerry Nadler's demand is, quote, premature and unnecessary. But Nadler insists otherwise.
We need the whole report. We need the whole report, including the underlying documents, unredacted, as has been the case in every previous situation similar to this, where Congress got it all.
Now, separately, President Trump's press secretary is disputing an allegation in the report. Today, she said she was not trying to mislead reporters when she said countless members of the FBI had lost confidence in fired FBI Director James Comey.
Look, I've acknowledged that the word countless was a slip of the tongue, but it's no secret that a number of FBI, both current and former, agreed with the president's decision.
Sanders added that getting rid of Comey was, in her words, one of the best decisions the president ever made. Now, the firing of Comey nearly 2 years ago prompted the appointment of the special counsel.
Campaign 2020, after months of asking will he or won't he, former Vice President Joe Biden is expected to reveal his presidential intentions next week. That's according to the Associated Press. Now, if he does jump in, Biden will enter that race as the Democratic frontrunner. That announcement is expected as early as Wednesday. Sideshows are a growing thorn in the side of East Bay city leaders and law enforcement. And now the city of Oakland is making it a mission to crack down. Last weekend, a sideshow in Oakland ended with a bus and semi-truck going up in flames. Oakland police plan to beef up patrols this weekend. And the Chronicle is reporting Mayor Libby Schaaf announced that she is forming a direct response team that takes input from community members. The report also says the city council is throwing support behind a state resolution allowing repeat offenders to face felony charges for sideshows.
420 is now just a couple hours away, and San Francisco officials are putting out a warning to revelers. They're asking everyone to keep it legal. No black market purchases. They say that nearly a dozen people had to be hospitalized at last year's celebration because of weed laced with fentanyl. We reached out to one official who says otherwise.
No, I know that that's how sometimes it's been reported. I don't think we know how people got exposed to the opioids they did.
That's San Francisco's health officer. The city says that they're rolling out more police, more buses, more parking control for this event. Last year, about 20,000 people crowded into Golden Gate Park. 420 falls on a Saturday this year, and officials say they're expecting up to 30,000 attendees tomorrow. A number of local businesses are offering 420 deals. On Munchies, Ben & Jerry's will have a pint delivered with an order from the dispensary Kaliva, and you can get a sandwich at Ike's for $4.20. And The Bird will have a free sandwich for customers who line up and follow them on Instagram.
And if you are not sure how to spend your holiday weekend, you can visit all national parks for free tomorrow. It is all a part of National Park Week, and there are plenty of free activities for the warm weather. Yosemite will be putting on events for Earth Day and John Muir's birthday, while Joshua Tree will have ranger talks and a geology hike.
Well, a different kind of April showers tonight. Stargazers getting ready for a weekend full of meteor showers. The Lyrid meteors are expected to begin streaking through the night sky tonight. But when they peak on Sunday night, you'll be able to see as many as 20 shooting stars an hour. And that is if conditions are clear where you are.
Wow, gorgeous. Tahoe resorts with plenty of snow are gearing up for a final round of spring skiing this holiday weekend. The snow is still 8 to 12 feet deep on many slopes. Donner estimates it has had more than 600 inches of snowfall this season. It's planning to stay open until April 28th. Others like Kirkwood, North Star, and Sugar Bowl plan to make this their final weekend. And with that spring weather, jackets are optional. The pink moon is lighting up the sky tonight. And don't worry, you aren't missing anything. The moon isn't actually pink. This full moon was named after pink spring flowers that bloom in April.